Major announcement. Have you ever wondered what soup would taste like if it had first been slurped by Lisa Foster? Well, your wait is over. Get Lisa Foster's pre-slurp soup in chicken noodle, mushroom bisque, or cheddar broccoli. Order now, just $100 for 3 cans.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our program of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News.
It's time for Peculiar Podcast, hosted by Pat Cashman.
Gorgeous to look at.
And Lisa Foster.
She's dangerous.
See, you're on.
Ready or not, it's Pat and Lisa.
Yeehaw! Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
It's love and time.
Okay, here we go. Lisa, what's your last name? I should know it by now. Foster, that's right. You and I are doing our final podcast of the year.
Yay!
Well, don't get too happy because the year is 1998.
Yeah. Boo.
Boo. But this is it. Last time, and you and I didn't talk about this, Lisa, but I think our mission now of the handful of people that listen to this podcast is that they don't want to hear any of our political views. They don't want to deal with that. They don't want to hear about it. Mm-hmm. It's done. The die has been cast for the next 4 years.
Yes.
So we're going to be a Trump-free zone for the next ever many times we do this podcast. Do you agree with that? Unless there's something so egregious it must be spoken of, but for the most part, this isn't where people need
that's this a nice out, because that's gonna happen, so you just gave us an out.
Okay, well, I'm just telling you what my intention is.
I have an idea.
Okay,
what if we I haven't formed it yet, I'm still working on it. We, as you say, don't get too mired down in the politics, but what if we talk about how they affected us personally?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't know.
The FBI or somebody in black outfit showed up at your house.
Right, and deported me because I'm from England.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Oh, then you must know Lord Beasley.
Yes.
Wonderful chap, him. I love him so much. Yes. I mean, I love him in a, you know, a male adult sort of fashion. But he's so witty.
Oh, but
he's so clever. And, by the way, an excellent sommelier.
Yes. What's a sommelier?
I don't know.
You do. It sounds
very fancy. To know.
And you're from Ireland, so you might be headed back to Ireland.
Yeah, I could hold, I am told, I think I mentioned this before, an Irish passport. So I could go to Ireland, and that I would feel like I was at home, because that's where my grandfather came from.
Right.
So that means I could get such a passport if I so desire. We'll see.
Isn't it cold and rainy there, though? Isn't it, like, super depressing? And
yeah, it's super different than Seattle.
You don't have to be snippy about it.
Sorry. Hey, let me get through these people have checked off this planet.
Right.
And we'll not have to worry about what goes on in the next 4 years.
Yeah, exactly.
It includes a fellow named William J. Hennessy Jr. I didn't remember what his age was. He was older because he's been for a long time the premier courtroom sketch artist. He mostly works like in Supreme Court arguments, impeachment trials.
Oh.
The Supreme Court will not allow cameras in there for a trial, which is maddening to me. I don't know why not. It's so silly. So they have to go in with sketch artists. William Hennessy was one of them. And I was trying to find some sound of him. And here's what I got. Here is William Hennessy, sketch artist, in action.
Yeah, wow, he's sounded like he was good.
Yeah, he was. You can tell just by listening that he was good. That's all I could find for sound, which, of course, underscores the limitations we have to these audio-only podcasts. Have you ever heard of Sir Lady Jabba?
Fix me a drink.
Sir Lady Jabba?
Yeah.
No,
Jabba,
but I'm...
J-A-V-A.
Maybe, oh, Jabba.
They,
are you
nobody's
sure,
sure of his her age, maybe 82. But Sir Lady Jabba in the 1960s was a drag queen.
It felt great to perform on stage for people that you don't know. And for them to like what you did, it makes you feel good.
Sir Lady Jabba was popular in the black entertainment world. She was an actress, singer, dancer, comedian, and very popular, but barred in Los Angeles for a while under a code of some kind.
Today, you can turn on the TV and watch hours of drag performances. But it was not too long ago that a drag performer named Sir Lady Jabba had to fight the law just so she could perform as her true self.
Sir Lady Jabba, gone at the age of 82.
Oh.
And then Zakir Hussain, 73, had lung disease. He mostly played the tabla.
The what? The what?
The tabla, T-A-B-L-A. The tabla. You probably played the tabla when you were in grade school. Music class.
Yes, I did.
No, the tabla apparently are tuned drums. But he played lots of other traditional and modern percussion things as well.
I learned everything that I know about drumming from my father. He was my guru and my master. My father told me once, go ahead and play with jazz, go ahead and play with rock, do whatever you want to do, but don't forget your roots. Don't forget where you came from, what your identity is, because that's what you bring to the table.
And played with loads of people. You might not know the name Zakir Hussain, but he played with Ravi Shankar, George Harrison, Van Morrison, Yo-Yo Ma. Shared several Grammys with different artists like the Grateful Dead. Well, I don't know how grateful Zakir is now, but he is dead. And then, I don't think we got to these on the last podcast. I wanted to mention Rocky Colavito, which is a great name. He was my favorite baseball player when I was a kid. Played with the Cleveland Indians mostly. Died at the age of 91. Just really cool home run hitter.
There's a high drive, hit the deep left. That one is gone. Home run for Colavito.
The thing I loved about him when I saw him on television for the first time is that when he was standing in the on-deck circle waiting to bat, he'd take his bat and put it behind his arms. He'd kind of hook it behind his arms so that the bat was on his back, and he'd turn right and left and right and left with it. And
I thought, it's that's a really, stretchy exercise.
Thing. But nobody else would did that, and I thought, I'll do that. So when I was in Little League, I did that, and then I would step to the plate and strike out.
Rocky Colavito, you put on a big show. With your bat, you hit the ball as far as I could see.
Michael Cole checked out. He was 84. He was the third member of the Mod Squad. Remember that show?
I loved the Mod Squad.
Me too. Peggy Lipton played the part of Julie. Clarence Williams III was Link. And then Michael Cole was Pete Cochran. Mod Squad was, if people don't remember or didn't grow up with it, it was these three hippies, basically, that had gotten on the wrong side of the law, and now they were being brought up to be a part of the law. They were going to be undercover police people, because who would suspect hippie of being, you know,
the fuzz.
Undercover?
Yeah.
The fuzz. And I remember one time Clarence Williams' character, they said, we want you to go in there and arrest those guys. And he said, I don't think on Soul Brothers. I love that.
Anytime
Clarence Williams was chasing a bad guy, you'd tackle him. You know, in real life, you'd tackle him if you could catch up to him. But no, not him. He always had to jump off a table, off a chair, off a big rock, something, so he could fly through the air and land on them. That was his character. Michael Cole, who played Pete in that same show, was 84. And then finally, well, let me back up for a second. I am on a narcotic as I'm speaking to you right now. And I don't like doing these things, but I injured my shoulder a couple of weeks ago, and it is killing me.
I know, you told me.
I can't raise... Did I talk about this on the podcast?
No, you didn't talk about it on the podcast, but you texted me, and then you ghosted... No, you didn't ghost me. Your wife texted me on Sunday. Patty's like, Pat's cranky.
Oh, Pat!
He doesn't want to do... He doesn't want to do the pot. No, she didn't say you were on drugs. She said you're cranky, that you're not feeling well, and you didn't want to do the podcast.
No, I feel fine. It's just pain, constant pain. Anybody who's in constant pain of that's significant knows it makes you despondent. It makes you unhappy.
I know.
Depressed and all
I'm
of that.
I'm sorry. I don't mean
and
to
I can't
belittle
sleep
it.
Through the night, Lisa. I can't sleep.
I'm sorry. But are you on drugs now that are helping
yes,
you sleep?
Yes, last night I slept real good.
Yeah, are you sleeping right now?
A little bit, little bit. I bring it up because, I'll tell you what happened on that Rotary Club thing where I was really in pain, but I had to go ahead with this Rotary Club.
Oh, that was this weekend?
That happened a couple of days ago as I'm recording this. But what I wanted to mention as I'm jumping all around here is the passing of the amazing Kreskin.
Oh, yeah, you texted me about that.
89 years old. You saw him on The Tonight Show. And he was big in the 1970s, probably was his heyday. But he was a guy, he wore glasses and he'd come out, looked like an average sort of guy. But he claimed that he could see into the future. He claimed you could look at a person and he could tell you, you know, you name it, the amazing Kreskin could do it.
Because he was amazing.
He was amazing. But it was all, you know, tricks and things. At any rate.
How dare you? How dare you?
What do you pick for the left pocket? Which do you pick for your right pocket?
I think the Jack of Hearts is in the left, nine of clubs in the right.
You never saw the deck. The cards were shuffled. Reach in your left pocket, please. You reach in, you said Jack of Hearts, left pocket. What's the card?
Jack of Hearts, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I know. And now that he's passed, hopefully I won't get retribution for it. But so anyway, the reason I bring him up is he passed, by the way, at the age of 89. Pretty good run. I got a chance to open for him, if you want to call me doing a lame monologue, was opening for the amazing Kreskin. I got hired by a local booker here in Central Oregon to open for the Kreskin. How they got Kreskin to come to Bend, I don't know. But
where was he playing? What was the venue?
There's a place called the Inn of the Seventh Mountain, and he was playing in a room up there. I can't remember a lot about it, except that I remember I went backstage and I said, hey, Mr. Kreskin, can I get you anything? And he said, a cup of coffee would be nice. And I said, I knew you were going to say that. And I thought, how clever am I? And, you know, he's probably heard it 100,000 times, but he was very gracious about it. And he was kind. And he said, he did a little perfunctory chuckle and then, walked away. But, he would often challenge the audience to find his paycheck. That'd be something. I know my paycheck is somewhere in the room. If I can't find it, then I will not have it. So I must find it. He always found his paycheck, by the way.
Okay.
But it looked mysterious the way he would do it. But
yeah, because he's amazing.
He's amazing.
Is the last digit a five or a three?
Three.
It is a three. Would you have placed, stopped me and put the pen in on page 143?
Correct.
All right. John, it is 143.
That was his first name. I didn't feel I knew him well enough to call him amazing, so I just called him Mr. Kreskin.
Mr. Kreskin, yeah.
Getting back to this Rotary Club thing. First of all, I arrive at the Rotary Club, and I've spoken to various Rotary Clubs before. You probably have, too. There's usually, there could be 100 people there or more.
Sure.
Often. You know, at least 60, 70. This one had about 20 people.
Was it a lunch or was it a...
Yeah, it was a lunch. It was a lunch. And they do their ritualistic things and they talk about, Carl over there has got a special guest he wants to introduce.
Yeah, thank you. This is Alice Swanson. She is visiting us from Lancashire, Pennsylvania, and she's a member of the Rotary there. I ran into her at a supermarket in town, and I said, I'm a member of the Rotary. And she said, so am I. And she said, well, why don't you come to our Rotary meeting? It's going to be this coming Wednesday. She said, okay, I'd love that. And so here she is. And then everybody applauds. And so they introduce people like that.
I shouldn't say it's dumb. It's not dumb. It's very nice.
So as I show up, Lisa, my shoulder is killing me. This was the worst day of it. And here I am, and I should have bailed out, but by then I couldn't call him in the morning and say, you know what, I can't make it. My shoulder's killing. I just didn't stand him up. So
That's a terrible feeling when you have an obligation. I'm like you. I prefer to play hurt than to bail out, just because of it. It would make me just the guilt of letting somebody down would be worse than the pain or whatever malady I had that prevented me from going to the thing. So
unless you were, because they just have to take your word for it, unless you wanted to do something dramatic, they say, you know, the guy comes up and he does the intro, and Pat Cashman is here, and Pat, come on up here. I can't. I'm sorry, what? I can't. My shoulder is killing me. Oh, God. And then run out of the room, weeping.
Well, you make.
Now, that would be a Rotary meeting they'd remember for years. But
you make a good point, which I didn't think about, is that, you kind of wonder, do they even believe you? Like, if you said, hey, this is Pat Cashman, and I'm not going to be able to do the Rotary thing that we agreed to. Oh, what's happened? Did somebody pass away? Oh, what? My shoulder. What if they go, really? Your shoulder hurts. Your shoulder hurts. Yeah. Is your shoulder doing the speaking, sir? I don't think so. Get your lame.
Do you remember the former Seahawks player, Brian Bosworth?
Oh, yes. No, I don't have any clue who that is. I have no idea who.
You don't? Well, you used to be a sportscaster, so I thought you might remember him. The Boz came to the Seahawks as the number one draft choice. He was much lauded. Okay. Much was expected of him. He was a linebacker. And he just seemed to get hurt all the time, immediately. And he'd always say, like you just implied, my shoulder hurts me. My shoulder hurts. Well, after he was gone from the Seahawks, it was just a failed experiment. He then tried to get into movies. And he made one called Stone Cold. Okay. So on the TV show I used to be a part of, Almost Live, I took the trailer from Stone Cold and I revoiced it so that it would be more referring to his football days. And I uncovered it in the archives of Almost Live. And this is audio only, but you'll get the idea. This is it's a potted trailer from Stone Cold.
Brian Bosworth is Stone Cold.
I don't get you.
You don't?
I don't.
You don't?
Nope.
What'd I do?
Just seems like every time we try to get close, and just when the mood is getting right, and I'm waiting.
My shoulder hurts.
Right, your shoulder always hurts. You've been saying that ever since Seattle days.
Well, now, wait a minute. They weren't so nice to me up there, you know.
What sort of mean things did they do to you, Brian?
Well, they wouldn't let me have the number I wanted.
That's terrible.
Yeah, and the helmet messed up my hair, too.
That's rough.
Yeah. And then, you know, Bo Jackson? He always used to come up to me and knock me on my butt and stuff. Everybody made fun of me.
They did?
I think so.
Say, Brian.
Uh-huh.
Would you kiss me?
My lips are kind of chapped. Well, so maybe this wouldn't be a very good time.
So the shoulder hurt thing, which was referenced there, is pretty lame. You're right. It ought to be something big. Like, I was in a horrible automobile accident.
You didn't even have to say that, just so I fell off a cliff. Just say that. They can't, I mean, just I fell off a cliff. I'm not good.
And to really sell it, you'd throw this sound in there. Yeah. There's a convincer.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a
great thing to ponder. What is sort of the acceptable level of malady that will get you out of something? And then top of that, will they believe you? You know.
Yeah. Well, it occurred to me that I should bring it up. I lost my place twice during this speech. I played some video and I gave an intro to a video that was not the correct intro to it and stuff like that. And then I started dumping a bunch of stuff. I thought, I can't keep going. I'm just killing me. And so I skipped ahead and then I really lost my place. But I was just eager to finish it up. And I thought maybe I should tell them I got this painful shoulder, so forgive me if this speech is not so great. But I didn't, so the speech was not so great. But I didn't tell them why.
You didn't have an excuse.
No, I didn't. Then later, I thought, you know, well, part of the problem is that it's like 18 people. You can't.
Yeah.
I don't think you can
hard.
Stand up or a humorous speech in front of 18 people, which reminded me that I got a call from a friend of mine that worked at Microsoft. This was many years ago, and I'd done a video for him, and he said, hey, I'm getting together with a group of other people in my department, and we're going to have a little coffee clatch or something, and we'd love if you'd come in and just do like a half hour of entertainment. I said, entertainment? Yeah. I didn't know it. Did he want me to juggle, do some sword swallowing? swallowing, I mean. Or,
you are on drugs. Try not to say hard words during this podcast.
Okay. Like sesquipedalianism and stuff like that.
Look at you, man. You went trying to do that.
So I said, that sounds good. What do you want me to talk? Talk about anything you want. Just give us a few laughs.
I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that when they don't. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'd rather him, you know, not have expectations. I could talk about continental drift or, you know, string theory or something like that. So I said that gave me a lot of latitude. So and they were going to pay me pretty well. And I thought,
they were going to pay you. It wasn't just a little, hey, us a favor. Oh, nice.
No, paid gig.
Wow.
And then just as I'm about to hang up the phone, I say, by the way, how many people are we talking about? How big's the audience going to be? He goes, well, let's see. There's me. There'll be four of us.
Oh my God.
I said, you know, I just looked at my calendar. I am tied up that day.
Yeah.
Thanks for thinking of me, but I can't do it. And I hung up.
I'm scheduled to fall off a cliff that day.
You can't do comedy in front of four people.
No.
You can't.
No.
It's awkward as heck.
It's weird.
You know, chances are one of the people. You got a 25% chance with four people that one of them will chuckle at something.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that one of them hates you. You're going way. You think
that's another 25% chance. Yeah.
You think three quarters of them are going to hate you and only one's going to laugh at you.
It just doesn't fit. They're supposed to have a meeting. Then this schmuck gets up there and starts talking. And I knew instinctively. No, I can't do this. No.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
I fled.
I think that's a great idea. I once did a, do you remember the sing-along Sound of Music that would come to various cities and the crowds?
Fifth Avenue Theater, right?
Yeah, and they would dress up and there was a costume contest. I got to host that one year and it was absolutely just so much fun. This is in my radio days and the crowd was, I don't know how many people fit into that theater, but it's a lot of people.
2,000. It's 2,000.
2,000. And somebody backstage said, so I'm the host and I'm introducing all these things and getting, you know, telling people how to play with. And somebody said, oh my God, backstage, there's so many people. Are you nervous? And I said, oh, no, 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 this is good. Because A, they're all in costume having a great time anyway. So I don't really have to do a whole lot to win this audience over. And there's enough of them that if I can get at least a few laughing, it'll probably be contagious enough that it'll carry. And it was one of the most funnest things I've ever done was hosting that in front of that big crowd. And I had a skirt made out of, had this big giant skirt made out of my favorite things, which for those of you who don't know The Sound of the Music, that is one of the songs in The Sound of the Music, my favorite thing.
Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
So I had all these things sewn on the skirt. So it was fantastic when I came out on the stage in the skirt. Yeah, it was so much
really
fun,
prepared.
Pat. It was so fun.
Did
so,
they
yeah.
did they bring up the house lights?
Yes.
Okay. Because see, when I did a play there, it was Hello Dolly. And I
yes.
do a number very early. And the stage, they had built a proscenium, which means you can walk out
yep.
a little further right yep. into the audience almost. And I remember very first night I was doing this monologue, and I remember, Jesus, this stage is sure shaking around. This proscenium is I can feel it shaking. I wonder if having a crowd in here is affecting the structure of this building. So I remember thinking, even as I'm talking,
I feel the earth move under my.
Then I happened to look down, and I saw my knees rattling together like a pair of castanets. And I realized, oh, that's where the shaking's coming from. It's coming from me. I didn't think I was nervous, but I was terribly nervous.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's surprising.
That only happened that night. But they basically have, when you're on stage with a spotlight in your face, you can't see the audience.
Right.
That helps, too.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know. You don't see the one disgruntled guy in the front row that's saying, God, will this guy ever shut up?
Maybe
I
that's
didn't
what you
should
have.
I come to this stupid play in the first place.
Maybe that's what you should have done with the Microsoft 4-person thing, is just brought a spotlight to shine in your face. And
my own spotlight.
Yeah, and then you could just imagine there were like 5,000 people out there.
I think I would turn it around and shine it on them so they can't see me, but they can just hear me. Somebody asked me to send a congratulatory retirement thing to a guy named Dave Ross, if people aren't in from the Seattle area, they wouldn't know him. But he retired from a radio station that we were on occasionally,
yep.
Cairo Radio.
Yeah.
And he retired. He was there something like 47 years, Lisa.
I know. How does that even happen?
Nobody keeps a gig of any kind that long, much less in radio, where
right.
you're always getting fired,
right.
especially when you're in the front lines like a host of a program or an announcer.
Mm-hmm.
You might be able to, you know, work in the back room and last 47 years, but because of ratings and all kinds of other issues, you get new program directors, they're going to make changes. But he somehow survived all of that,
yeah.
partly because he was really good.
Yes.
Anyway, they asked me to send a congratulatory thing. And I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of Dave Ross.
Me?
Or you've ever met him before.
Of course I have.
Again, I'm not really good at estimating things, but I would say he's about 2'11", something like that, tall.
I think that's pretty accurate.
Roughly speaking. He's a classic example to me of the way most people perceive radio people. Dave Ross,
you have this big voice, Dave Ross here.
And
yes.
so you're picturing this massive, muscular
yes.
Greek god of a person.
Lantern jawed, as you
yes,
as
yes.
you say. I love that term that you say. This, yeah, very.
Like a superhero.
Yes.
So when you meet him, if you're not disappointed, you're at least surprised because he's not a big man at all. Much smaller. The voice, in other words, doesn't fit the guy.
Right, Exactly.
But I did congratulate him.
When you say they asked you to send a thing, you're being really weirdly...
A little video.
Yeah. A video, okay. That.
So I said, you know, when I first heard you on the air... Well, I said, first of all, you're retiring from radio, and you've been on for 47 years. Is retiring the same thing as getting fired? Because I've been fired 3 or 4 times, and... I guess I've been retired 3 or 4 times, yeah.
Yes.
But I said, I was imagining a behemoth. If you were in a biblical play about David and Goliath, you would think Dave Ross would be Goliath if you just heard his voice.
Yeah. Oh, he'd be a great Goliath.
Of course, he'd be David because his name is Dave.
Yeah.
But I just told him, keep your slingshot handy. You never know when you're going to need it again.
Mm-hmm.
And I closed with saying, well, congratulations, you're retiring voluntarily. Me? By acclamation.
David took his slingshot and he swung it round his head. Oh, blew that apple and the giant dropped.
Boom! He dropped, yeah.
Yeah, no, little David made a
good shot.
Hey, I was going to ask you, what are you up to today?
Yeah, you keep rambling on. You need to rush through the stuff.
I'm telling you, I'm high, or a thing.
No, I know. I have to go in 20 minutes. We have 20 minutes left.
Okay.
Because I have...
I think I can handle that.
...things to do. And one of the things I have to do is I'm going on a lunch date with a gentleman today.
I hope that goes well. Does he sound like Dave Ross?
Have you seen the guy?
Yes, I've had a video date with him, and he seems...
So you've only seen him from
the shoulders
roughly the shoulders up.
Yeah.
He could have webbed feet.
Yeah, who knows what's going on?
He could have a long tail. You don't know.
Who knows what's going on below the neck?
Yeah, you'll find out.
I have no idea. But he's nice enough, and he seems aware of things. Why am I hesitating? But here's the problem, Pat Cashman. I do some voice work for an aesthetic doctor, and so he sometimes does things on my face that I get done to look pretty. So I had a chemical...
You had a facelift? Is that what we're talking about?
No. I'm letting
face lowering?
Yeah. I'm gonna just loosen everything up even more. Let it just swing in the wind.
Ride like the wind. Ride like the wind.
I got a chemical peel on Tuesday, which...
What is that?
It burns your face off.
You're gonna burn. You're gonna burn. You're gonna burn.
It takes all the dead skin off, and then you have a baby butt smooth face after all the stuff comes off.
Does it hurt?
Yes.
It does?
Yes.
Well, when did you know you were going on this date? What are you telling me right now? Are you all messed up looking?
No. I love how you say that. Are you all messed up? No,
well,
it is.
Know.
It is not like it. Like that thing I went through 20 years ago. Remember, one of our sponsors was a...
Yes, I do remember. And I think I have, the day you came back, you had to do a commercial for this outfit.
Correct.
But you had to pretend like everything was great, but it was actually a horrifying experience.
Oh, absolutely.
And you looked like you'd gone through a house fire.
Yes.
And there you are sitting next to me. I think, here's a bit of that audio, I think, from years ago, your first day back. From getting your face burned off, as you said.
from radio shows past.
I'm Pat Cashman with Gary Hoffman, Steve Wilson, our producer, and Kelly Minnis is here as well. And back with us today is Lisa Foster.
I am happy to say I am drug-free for the first time in about a week today.
Well, you haven't been drugged today.
No drugs today.
You haven't been dragged today.
No, and I'm actually feeling pretty well.
We, Gary and I, none of us here, have actually seen Lisa's face this morning. She came in looking like a beekeeper this morning, so she's got some kind of a netting hanging over her face. Sort of a burqa sort of deal. So we don't know.
No.
Whether this is going to be horrible or a revelation.
You don't even need to tell us.
Don't need to preface it in any way. I know you want to, but just don't do it.
Okay.
Here's what I thought we'd do, Lisa.
If it
is a pleasant surprise, I mean, if it's something lovely to behold, I will tell the audience with this music.
That's nice. That's pretty music. That would indicate that I have a fetching
good.
Face.
If it's otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So again.
I've been hearing that music for about 6 days now, let me tell you.
So again, we're going to either hear. Or we're going to hear. What is?
You're right. You're right.
All right.
All right. So you want me to lift the veil down?
Is it going
to
be?
Or...
Okay. Gary, you be the first to look.
No, come on. Make them look first. Make Steve and Kelly look first.
Actually, we can see it from the side over here.
Yeah.
They can, because my burqa, that's the beauty of a lace burqa. It gives you a little bit of a peek.
Yeah.
Well, if the lace burqa is so beautiful, why don't we just keep it down?
Yeah, it's kind of a nice filter, a microphone filter.
It actually
filter.
Is kind of nice.
I do pop my peas occasionally, so.
Before we do this.
No, you look.
Gary and I have, none of us have really any choice but to say, oh, that looks good.
I know you're not going, because I came in on the day that I felt well, not the day that I looked the best. This is what you need to know. I'm still technically in my healing mode. I'm still in recovery right now.
Did you ever see the movie Ben-Hur? When central character sees his mother.
Yes.
Who's had leprosy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would it be?
What was his reaction?
His reaction was something like this. Just for the record. Now, wait a minute. Isn't it a little... I know I've been milking this for quite a while, but, this... I'm inclined to stretch this out for several days.
That'd be good, because in several days I'll look really great.
But all kidding aside, you're feeling okay?
I'm feeling the best I have felt today, absolutely.
Best you've felt since.
Right.
Not in your life.
Exactly. But okay. I'm not kidding. I was taking codeine, and I was lying to myself about the times that I was taking codeine. I'm like, okay, well, I know it's really only been 2 hours, and I'm not supposed to have one for another 2 hours, but actually, exactly. And I would just, exactly. So it was brutal. It was brutal. And I'm feeling well today.
I look like a cabbage patch doll.
A little like a cabbage patch doll.
So you keep telling us what you're going to look like. Let's just see what
you
look like.
You want to
see
it?
Okay. Yeah, here
it
comes, Gary.
Okay.
Good, bad, or ugly? I'm sorry. I really did want to play the other music. Lisa, that's scary. Oh,
Gary,
stop crying.
Come
here,
let me.
Gary, you're a.
Okay, so you've done it again.
No, this is not that. That was a very, very severe. I mean, he like took all my face. He basically took my face off. This is just a light little resurfacing. The point is, my face is like really kind of flaky. It basically looks like, if you remember what I looked like before, when I had my face burned off.
Yeah.
Now it just looks like somebody. Do you know that flaky salt that like gourmet people use, a sort of flaky sea salt. It's quite delicious.
Or is it like Parmesan cheese?
Yeah, it looks like somebody threw some flaky salt at my face.
Is that how you look right now?
Yes.
And you're going on this date for the first time.
Yes. But this goes back to what we just were talking about. I didn't want to cancel the date and go, hey, I can't have lunch with you because my shoulder hurts. I feel like,
Are you going to, when you meet him today, are you going to say, okay, I know what you're thinking. I look like I've
done my face in a bowl of salt.
10 rounds with a ball of fire. But here's what happened.
No,
or are you
doesn't...
just going to say, what are you looking at?
It doesn't look like...
What do you
like
keep staring at me for? What's going on? Keep your eyes to yourself.
I think, quite frankly, this is a very good test, don't you? I think that if... because here's the thing. Everybody always shows up on a first date or first thing at their best. And then things just get... just go to hell from there. So why not show up and just say, you know, here I am at this moment. Take it or leave it. I promise you things are going to get better. Maybe that's the selling point.
And if it's too off-putting for the other person, then that just proves how shallow they are.
That's
and you never want to see them again in the
that's
first place.
What I'm saying. It's actually not too bad. I'm just going to make sure I rub a big jar of Crisco over my face so that my sea salt disappears. We'll see. It'll be fine. It'll all be fine.
Okay.
I'm going. I'm going.
I believe you. I believe
you. He's a nice man, and we'll see. And he might, you know, I might not like him anyway. I don't know.
Well, what if he shows up and he's had a face chemical thing done? Yeah, then wouldn't that be great? You found your soulmate.
I know.
Yeah, be perfect.
Okay. I'll let you know how it goes.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces. Show no traces of the evil that lurks within.
All right.
But I got to go. I've got things to do. Do you have a joke?
Okay. Yeah, I do. Hell yes.
All right. Good. I got to go deal with my face.
All right. A woman is having a passionate affair with an inspector from a pest control company.
Can I stop you right there?
Yeah. I thought you had to get somewhere.
I'm not even kidding you. The pest control people are showing up today. I have a pest control appointment.
There's got to be a reason I chose this joke.
I'm not joking when I say this. Yeah. I will screenshot my calendar and show you that the pest control people are here coming today. So I can't wait to see how this turns out for her.
Well, so she's in this affair, but see, she's married. She's having an affair with this inspector from the pest control company.
Okay, got it.
One afternoon, the two are carrying on in the bedroom together when her husband arrives home unexpectedly.
Oh, no. Gosh, darn it. I hate that. This just ruins everything.
Is this something you can relate to?
Yeah. Dang it.
Yeah. Okay, so the woman says, quick, hide, she says to her lover. So she bundles him into the closet, but the guy's stark naked, but he's in the closet.
Yeah.
So the husband walks in to the room and he's suspicious.
Oh.
And he says, I'm going to search this bedroom. And sure enough, he discovers the man in the closet.
Oh no.
The husband says in a Dave Ross voice, who are you? The guy says, hi, I'm an inspector from Bugs Be Gone.
Well, what the hell are you doing in my wife's closet?
I'm investigating a complaint about an infestation of moths.
And where, may I ask, are your clothes?
The man looks down at himself and says, those little bastards!
Homeless men starving in windows on Christmas. Terminal cancer and bites that are venomous. Dumping a body that's tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. Rusted machetes and blood-covered orphans. Dog fights and knife fights, a dying man's plea. 19% of high schoolers can't read. These are a few of my favorite things. When the birds sing, when the sun shines, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember my favorite things, and then I don't feel so glad. When you smell cake, when mom hugs you, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember my favorite things, and then I don't feel so glad.
Thanks for listening to Peculiar Podcast.
Hey, goodbyes.
Join Pat and Lisa online at peculiarpodcast.com.
The gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
And on the Peculiar Podcast Facebook fan page.
Sweet.
On Twitter at Peculiar Podcast, at Mr. Pat Cashman, and at Foster Chick.
Join us and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration.